Washington Church in Valparaiso, Indiana, USA, and you're listening to my podcast, That's Life. Well, today I'd like to do something pretty different with the broadcast. I want to share with you, something very personal, something from my heart today. And that is, as some of you know, just been going through some difficult trials in my personal life. And I'm not going to get into it specifically, but some of you know some of the challenges that my family's been going through. And it brings up a good point. It's a good reminder. I think some people have this kind of Pollyanna worldview, or especially people who are outside of the family of God have this idea that, boy, once you become a Christian, you know, life is perfect. And some Christians hold that same view, you know. Once I become a Christian, I never have any kind of struggles. There's never any challenges. And that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, I think a point could be made to say that if you become a Christ follower, life is going to get more challenging and not less challenging. But there's one thing that we have that the rest of the world doesn't have, and that's the power of God. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us get through some of the tough things of life. But the truth is, you and I live in a fallen world. And some people get the world's sicknesses. We get the world's diseases. We live in a fallen world, and so we are not immune to some of the challenges of the world. And pastors are no different. The Bible has a lot to say about challenges. Obviously, I think of that very familiar scripture verse or passage in James chapter 1, where James encourages us to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. He said, for you know that the testing of your faith, and so right there, James equates the challenges that we go through, the hardships that we go through, as kind of testing our faith. He says it produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So the first thing that I think about when I think about these trials that we're going through personally is, hey, God is testing our faith. And it's not so much a test of faith as if to say, boy, Brian, I want to see if you're going to make it through this. It's more a testing of our faith for ourselves. How do we know? He says, because it produces steadfastness. In other words, you went through this really difficult thing before, and God showed you that he could get you through. And so we're going to make it through this. The testing of our faith produces perseverance or steadfastness. And he says this perseverance or steadfastness should have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. And I think with the trials that we go through, we need to be reminded that God is doing something in us. He's doing a work in us. I think also just a few pages away from the book of James is the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Peter says this beautiful passage. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's refined by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So isn't it interesting that here Peter said basically the same thing that James said, that these trials that we're going through are a testing of our faith. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, as these trials make us into the people that God created us to be, even though it seems so difficult now, so hard to even fathom now, that when we stand before the presence of the living God at his return, we will worship him, we'll praise him and thank him for these challenges that we went through. I think that's a beautiful picture that Peter painted. I love how he went on in verse 8. He said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you don't see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The reason I think that that's so interesting, remember the context that Peter wrote this. The New Testament church has been persecuted. And here the Apostle Peter is saying to these people who are going through very difficult trials, things that you and I can hardly fathom, things that make our difficult trials seem pretty insignificant. And here Peter says, you know, guys, you're struggling right now, but though you haven't seen Christ, you love him. And though you don't see him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Do you have a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory? Look, think about that. A joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Even though you're going through trials, even though life is really difficult, in light of the gift of salvation that you've received, in light of the gift of the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship that we have with God, the Holy Spirit living in us, we are filled with joy. We rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. We're filled with glory. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Yes, I'm struggling. Yes, these trials that I'm going through, I wish I didn't have to. But yes, I believe that God is using them to make me into the person that he wants me to be. And yes, despite all of that, I will choose to worship him. In fact, I think of that song by Matt Redman, Blessed Be Your Name. That song says, and by the way, I've been singing this song lately, going through the trials that I'm going through, some of the personal things in my life, yet I'm choosing to worship the Lord. I've been singing that song by Matt Redman. It says, Blessed be your name, speaking to the Lord God. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. In other words, Matt Redman's saying, God, when life is good, I will praise your name. When the land is plentiful, when the streams of abundance flow, God, when you are pouring out your blessings on my life, I will thank you. I will worship you. I will praise you. But then he goes on to say, and blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. And though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. And there I think basically he's saying, and God, even when life is tough, I will not be overcome by it. Even when life is tough, I will not shake my fist at you, God, and question you. Though I walk through the wilderness, though things are tough, your name is worthy of being praised, and I will praise you. And so he says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, he says, when the sun is shining down on me. Blessed be your name. When the road is marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And that's where I feel like I'm at right now. Yes, the road is marked with suffering. Yes, there are some difficult things that the Lord is allowing us to go through. And yes, there's pain in the offering. But God is worthy. And let me encourage you and let me challenge you in this. I think that it's really a dangerous thing when we get mad at God. I think we're in a dangerous place. In fact, I've heard Christians say before, hey, I cuss at God. Hey, I swear at God. He's got big shoulders. He can take it. I warn you. I caution you. God is almighty. God is just. And God is to be feared. And I think that is a very disrespectful thing to cuss, to curse at your parents. I think it's a very disrespectful thing to curse at your pastor, who is a man of God, okay? And in that context, it's a very disrespectful thing to curse at God. And I'm very leery when I hear Christians say, I'm mad at God, and I tell them, and I've cursed at God. I warn you against that. You know, you can be hurt and you can be not understanding and you can cry out to the Lord and say, God, I don't understand. God, the darkness is closing in, like that song says. God, the road is marked with suffering. But don't turn your back on God. Don't curse at God. And so that song goes on Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. And he says, you give and take away, and you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Now, I don't know if you know that or not, but those lyrics come from the book of Job. And it's encouraging, I guess, because Job lost everything. Job lost all of his income in one day. It was all taken away in a supernatural way. And the same too, all of his children passed away in one terrible accident. Imagine losing all of your children in one day. And in that same day, you lost all of your income because of these tragedies that happened. Just the most terrible thing that you can think of. And frankly, I don't care what you're going through, and I don't care what I'm going through personally right now. That is nothing in comparison to what Job lost. And how did Job react? It says in Job chapter 1, verse 20, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground. And I'm not going to read the next couple words yet. Here's what he did. He tore his robe, this visual, kind of outward expression of the inward thing. I'm grieving. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell on the ground. And what did he do? He worshiped. That is kind of a stunning, startling, unexpected thing that we see. It didn't say he cursed God. It didn't say he shook his fist at God. It didn't say he cried out and said, God, I don't understand. Instead, he rose and he worshiped God, and he said this. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says this, and I think this is important. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. And I think there's a way that we can go through suffering, friends, that is sinful. And there are ways that we can go through suffering that is honoring to God. We can charge God with wrong, but that is going against his character. That's sinful. To say, God, it's not fair. That's sinful to tell God it's not fair what he's doing, because you're accusing God of evil, and God is not evil. And so I love Job's humble response. Naked I came from my mother's womb. You know, God, everything that I have is a gift from you, and naked I'm going to return. And you've given me these great gifts, and I've enjoyed them, and I've been blessed by them, and so I thank you for them. But now, for whatever reason, you've taken them away, and it doesn't matter, because in the end, God, you are sovereign. In the end, you are to be worshiped and praised. And so, even in this dark place, I will say, blessed be your name. And I want to encourage you, if you're going through a tough time today, if you're going through a struggle that's maybe been several months, maybe it's been years, friends, I'm with you right now, going through some personal things in my life that are challenging, that I don't know what the result of these are going to be. But I'm not going to turn my back on my great God, because he has not turned his back on me. And naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord has given me so many great blessings, and we need to be thankful for those, and we need to be thinking about those great blessings that God has given us, and focus on them. And whatever trials God is allowing us, pray this prayer, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me through this trial right now? Pray that I would learn that, God. And in the meantime, I pray that you use this trial to make me into the man or woman that you created me to be. God, life is hard, and we don't always understand, but blessed be your name. So would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I am hurting. And life, this side of glory, can be really challenging. And we don't always understand why you allow these challenges. But God, we will not charge you with evil, because you are great. You're worthy of praise. So even in these challenges, we will say, Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your glorious name. And we thank you for not leaving us and forsaking us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our great comfort. God, I love you and I praise you. And I thank you for the miracle of salvation. And I rejoice. How did Peter say it? It was so beautiful. In 1 Peter chapter 1. And just read this again, if I can find it. Though we don't see you now, God, we believe in you. And we rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Father, that's what we're hanging on to. That's what we rejoice, God. We rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. Yes, these trials of living in this fallen world can be difficult, but we are not overcome by them. I just thought of the other scripture passage. I'm pressed but not crushed. I'm persecuted but not abandoned. I'm struck down but not destroyed. Praise you, Lord. The enemy can strike us down. The world can strike us down, but we are not destroyed by this. God, you are great and you're worthy. And we praise you and we honor you, God. We glorify you for that joy that is in us, even in the tough stuff, because we are yours and we are in your capable hands. God, I praise you. I worship you. We worship you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed today.